You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome back. We've got a new season of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about and lots of stuff going on in the news right now. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome back my co-host, John.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent.
It's good to be here.
Excellent. So what'd you think of the first episode? I know I apologize on behalf of everyone who posted spoilers right after the episode.
Well, you know, I had to deal with that from one person. She was like, I'm sorry, I can't contain my level of pain. And I'm like, it was okay, because, you know, I'm the first person to say the easiest way to avoid spoilers is just not to look at them.
This is true.
So,
this is very,
you know,
true.
I'm like, so I would, you know, I joked with her about it, and I said, you know, yeah, I'll just confine myself to the internet, to my corner of the internet, until tomorrow when I can watch it myself.
And people were trolling you hard and being like, oh, didn't you like the Hello Kitty arm that Phil got?
Yeah, they were jerks.
Anyway, that's
great. Good journal, all my friends.
Sorry. Yeah. All right, so there's been a lot of stuff going on in the news lately. There was Kevin Feige apparently had a big press conference, and so we've had a whole bunch of different stories this week.
Yeah, they did. It was a little press conference to promote the DVD Blu-ray release for Age of Ultron, which is tomorrow. Obviously, this will be released later, but as we're recording, it's Thursday, so it will be released on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to run out to Best Buy and use a $10 coupon I have to get myself the Steelbook with Vision on it.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, I've just got it set to auto-download from Amazon when it comes out. So.
Yeah, but obviously a lot of Marvel news, a lot of questions that came out of the press conference. Mm-hmm. Doing all manner of subjects with its casting, Phase 3, the TV shows versus the films, mm-hmm. The comments that were made by Zack Snyder and by Steven Spielberg about superhero movies.
What did he have to say on that?
He didn't really address it. He didn't knock them. He just said, you know, we're looking forward to what happens in Phase 3. Mm-hmm. He's like, I see the beginning of the Marvel Universe as being, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe as being Iron Man, and, you know, Westerns had a good 40, 50-year run,
yeah,
and they still pop up from time to time.
Well, so, I don't think it's entirely fair to say Iron Man was the start of superhero movies.
Well, he said it was the start of the MCU.
It was the start of the MCU, but you can't really take it like a genre the same as Westerns. But still, exactly.
And he said, you know, basically his perspective is everything we did before Iron Man is not as important as it is now.
Right, of course. That's what he does. So.
Yeah, and of course, Sebastian Stan had made his comments about what Zack Snyder had said as well.
What was that?
We're doing something new and, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
And it, you know, how original of him to say something like Ant-Man is a flavor of the week.
Right. Well, and we've talked about this before. I mean, I think that what has made the MCU movies such a success is that they're not just trying to do a regular old superhero movie exactly the same, you know, like the Batman movies, you know, yeah, they had different stories and everything, but they all pretty much had the same tone. You know, mm-hmm. and the same thing with, you know, different other franchises, you know, the Superman movies in the 80s or whatever. But with the MCU, I just think that any kind of criticism that says that this is just a fad and it's going to pass you know, if they were all, if we were making the same movie over and over and over again, then yeah, right. people would get bored with it. But it's not. I mean, we've got, you know, just in some of the stuff that's coming up, we've got, you know, I guess Civil mm-hmm. War is probably going to be close to a, you know, as much of a traditional superhero movie
right.
as there is. But then we've got Doctor Strange, which is going to be all, you know, dark and mystical and going in a completely different direction from the science and even the mythology stuff that
right.
we've had so far. And we've got, you know, Black Panther. I'm so excited about they're posting up some of the fan right. art that people are doing for that, and I just think that is going to be awesome.
I keep noticing that, and while a fan art as much as anybody, I mean, when they posted, it's not news. It's interesting and it's worthwhile
oh, sure.
seeing. But you know, the front page of MCU Exchange or comicbook.com or I don't feel like, all right, that's nice, but I want to see actual
sure,
art.
Sure, sure, yeah.
I want to see, you know, pictures from the set, or I want
oh,
Marvel
yeah.
to release something
I
for
don't,
us.
I don't disagree on that. I just think that, you know, and when you hear Black Panther, I mean, let's yeah. admit it, you think like 1960s and, you know, Black Power Movement and stuff like that, and they're really breaking out of that breaking
yeah.
everyone of that conception with some of the art.
And I tend to think of both, but I can see where in, you know, most, like for non comic book
exactly,
fans,
yeah.
You know, your first thought would be the Black Panther movement of the 1960s.
Right.
And I would agree with Feige in the sense that, you know, all genres at some point or another had their big decade or their big period
sure.
of time. But at the same time, we still make those movies today.
Right.
We still make Westerns. We still make sci-fi films.
Mm-hmm.
We still make, you know, hard-boiled detective
of course,
stories
yeah.
or warm films.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, these things never really go away. They
right.
might have a big period, but somebody will make a Spider-Man film 50 years from now, for all we know.
Probably they will. But hopefully they will stick with what Feige's been saying, which is no more Uncle Ben death scenes. I'm very happy about that.
Was it Ben Robinson who played him in the Sam Raimi films?
I don't remember. It was I know that in the Andrew Garfield version it was Martin
right.
Sheen,
because
Martin I remember
Sheen.
just being in disbelief. I'm like, but that's President Bartlett. He can't be Uncle Ben. but yeah, I know that's the direction that they're going is and it was interesting because today there was a little spat
right.
online with people saying that Feige had said no more origin movies. And I don't think that's the case. He said he's not going to do an origin movie for Spidey because
right.
we already know the origin.
Yes, and it was Cliff Robertson who was Uncle Ben in the Sam
okay.
Raimi films. And then, like you said, we got Martin Sheen
mm-hmm.
For The Amazing Spider-Man. And there's only so many times we can watch Uncle Ben die. It's like, how many times do we have to watch the Wayne's get murdered?
Exactly, Batman's parents. Exactly, same thing. But it looks like they are going to be doing an origin story for Doctor Strange, which I think is good because
yes.
that's very much, you know, they're getting into, you know, not to say that the, you know, that Iron Man and Thor were necessarily well known prior to the movies coming out, but
right.
these are characters that most people know absolutely nothing about. So,
and as Feige himself points out, you know, this is a character, you know, almost like Iron Man, who experiences a great amount of character growth
right.
in his origin, and that's why his origin is important.
Exactly, exactly. They have confirmed that Rachel McAdams is going to be in Doctor Strange, but they haven't said
yes.
what she's going to be playing. Any ideas?
He said that she plays a very, very big part in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and his quoting represents a certain point of view of the world that we experience in that movie. So it's been mentioned that Doctor Strange is going to kind of delve more into the dimensional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to play on the quantum dimension that we see a little bit in Ant-Man.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And an interesting point. I think she might actually end up being Clea.
Mm-hmm.
Clea is a female, main female character in Doctor Strange's comics. She was a love interest of his for a long time. She actually comes from another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's got a perspective on all these worlds, that could certainly explain why she has that, if mm-hmm. she is this character. And that character is also the niece of Dormammu, who we have rumored that he will appear in the movie.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. not who
Chiwetel Ejiofor is. He's been essentially confirmed as Baron Mordo.
Okay, cool.
But in the comics, Baron Mordo tends to serve as kind of a servant mm-hmm. of Dormammu.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought that there was a tie in there, and I was just not coming up with the names. So lots of Doctor Strange news. I don't know who it was that said that it was going to be filming in Atlanta. It's not. I think that the confusion there was that it's filming at Pinewood, but it's filming at the Pinewood that's in England, not the Pinewood that's in Georgia.
You know, and that's, I mean, it can certainly be confusing with, obviously, with Civil War having filmed down there, with Guardians 2 is about to start.
Yep, that's...
Because I think even in the interview, Feige said that they had gotten there on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know James Gunn has been posting, you know, stuff on Facebook about having gotten to Atlanta and how he was happy to see the rain because he's from California where they haven't been getting any. So,
yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, I don't think they actually start filming until like January, but obviously they've got, you know, a lot of pre-production work and locations and things like that to get under control. So there's that. We mm-hmm. had a couple of previews for Jessica Jones drop, but they really didn't show us much except she's strong mm-hmm. and badass and she likes rock music.
We don't even really see Kristen Ritter's face in either of them. It's, you know, in one she destroys her alarm mm-hmm. clock, and the other one she walks profiled down this bar where she's obviously beating the crap out of everybody in it.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, they're good, you know, in that they give you, you know, some of the tone of it. You know, sort mm-hmm. of like some of the Daredevil things that just, you know, showed him... like in profile, you know, in an alleyway or something like that. So it's cool, but it's not really, really telling us anything. But one interesting thing is that, and at this point it is technically, I guess, a rumor, but David Tennant, it's looking like, is going to be in at least one episode of Luke Cage, which means obviously he's going to survive his first season with Jessica Jones.
And I think those are still rumors at this point, mm-hmm. but it's not uncommon. And they've said before that obviously building towards Defenders, these characters are going to start appearing a lot more in each other's shows.
Right.
There's even the rumor floating around that Madame Gao has been spotted on the set for Luke Cage.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got Claire, who's presumably going to be in Luke Cage, because at least in the comics she's mm-hmm. she's involved with him, and Luke Cage is in Jessica Jones.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's certainly plausible. So that will be interesting. Let's see. Chris Evans was at some Comic-Con or another, and
Salt Lake City Comic-Con. A few of my friends met him.
Oh, cool.
And we're just posting their squee about it all weekend.
Awesome.
My friend Kayla, who dresses as the Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. showed him a picture of her in costume, mm-hmm. and he took the phone from her and was
awesome.
Looking at it. I was like, no, you got this is like a set photo, isn't it? Like, people, I couldn't believe it.
That's fantastic.
And we also saw there were pictures of him released. There was a couple that proposed in front of him and Haley Atwell. And Haley's
the
face.
The look on her face.
Glorious.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was so awesome. But I believe he made some comments on mm-hmm. what how Civil War gets kind of kicked off. And I don't think it's necessarily anything that was a surprise, but you know, it has to do with you know, after Sokovia, people are saying, you know, hey, someone has to regulate these people, basically.
Right. And I think Chris's comments in it were basically that Cap's position is that he's had people over him before, mm-hmm. and as we know from the events of Winter Soldier,
that didn't go so well.
No, so he now figures that the only person he can really trust is himself.
Right.
And so, of course, that sets him up against Tony, who feels that there does need to be regulation.
Right, because he's, you know, and he didn't go into this, but, you know, I think it's because that man has a lot of guilt that he's carrying around. And, yeah. You know, he feels, he knows whether or not other people are calling him on it. He knows that you know, what happened in Sokovia was pretty much entirely on him. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that definitely would make sense. And I can't remember, Why Can't We Be Friends, Dub Smash had dropped when we did our last episode, had it?
No, we didn't. Because they hadn't done their round two yet, but James Darcy had already done theirs.
Right, with Lola, that's right. Mm-hmm. So tell us about who we see in Why Can't We Be Friends?
All right, well, it's actually interesting because what they're trying to do in that one is to bring together kind of these multiple universes and multiple properties mm-hmm. that we obviously can't get in the Marvel Cinematic Universe right. for copyright reasons and trademark reasons. But one of the big ones is they get Melissa Benoist, who is
Supergirl, right?
The new Supergirl. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So they get her to be a part of it, and then they have a couple folks dressed up as Deadpool and another guy sitting in a car dressed as Batman.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the bearded Batman, so it's we couldn't have gotten, you know, Brett Dalton to dress up. That would have been funny. Who knows?
That
maybe that was him in the Deadpool outfit. We may never know.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah. So that was.
They also did both sides in round two are doing special promotions. Mm-hmm. If you donate $10, at least $10 to them, you have the opportunity to win like a signed poster, a signed DVD. Mm-hmm. Or sign Blu-ray and a Funko Pop for each of their shows.
That's awesome.
If you subscribe to Haley mm-hmm. and her side and give the money to them, then the Funko is her as Agent Carter.
Right.
If you donate the $10 to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then you get like the Lola when it comes
out. Oh, cool. That's awesome.
So, and of course, you know, and that's in addition to every dollar you donate to them is an entry into the sweepstakes to be able to go out there
right.
to LA.
Right. And that's cool. And it's going to charity anyway, which is awesome.
Yes.
So.
And I can't remember the exact name, but Agent Carter's is an anti-bullying charity. Mm-hmm. And I believe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is St. Francis Children's Hospital.
Yep. We'll have links to that in the doobly-doo, as they say, in the show notes. So that is great.
So, yeah, and you have to just go to Dub Smash Wars and pick your side.
Awesome. Awesome.
Or donate to both and feel really good about giving to some great charities.
Absolutely. And double your chances of actually getting to win something. So that's cool, mm-hmm. too. Other than that, the only other thing that I'm thinking of that I wanted to mention was, you know, we do talk about rumors on here, but, you know, there's a rumor and then there's just completely wild speculation. You know, that's been unconfirmed.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to tell which is which.
Exactly. And, you know, and some of the sites are more, more reliable than others. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what all there was.
I read at least one rumor that suggested that we're going to see some of Vision and Scarlet Witch's romance in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that would be... I mean, obviously that's going to be a subplot that's probably going to detract from the main plot.
There's so much going on in that movie.
Yeah, it's going to take too much time, and it's more something I think, you know, maybe you can set it up a little bit, but you can't really go into as much depth with it, and you need to save that for Infinity.
Yeah, I think they should definitely save that personally. But, like, Mads Mikkelsen was somebody that mm-hmm. a bunch of people had said, oh, yeah, he's for sure cast, he's going to be in Doctor Strange, blah, blah, blah. And he hasn't been. that's not
he's
true.
He's like, yeah, he knows about as much as we do right now. He said he was waiting for a phone call.
Exactly. So, you know, on the other hand, there was rumors about, you know, Bruce being in Civil War. Obviously, the actor whose name is...
Mark Ruffalo.
Of course, there were rumors that Banner was going to be in Civil War, and Mark Ruffalo didn't know anything about it, and then it ended up being true, but then not being true because he got cut.
Well, it's still true.
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's not going to be in the final cut, so we'll probably see it on the DVD extras or something.
Right.
Well, did I share with you the interview he did on, I think it was either Letterman or, not Letterman, it was probably Conan, I think, where he said he took his daughter to school, and one of the boys in her class kind of went up to him and goes, are you the Hulk?
I remember that.
And he was kind of like, well, you know, and his daughter's like, yeah, he is the Hulk. He's like, can you turn into the Hulk? And he's like, oh, I don't know, not real. And so I was like, yeah, Dad, do it, Dad.
Yep.
And so he kind of like puffs up his face like he's turning, like he's going to do it. And the little boy goes, no, not here.
Don't destroy the school.
Yeah, you'll destroy the school.
Yeah, that was adorable. Anyway, yes, you'll have to let me know. I know you said that you're getting the actual physical copy of Age of Ultron. I'm just getting the electronic copy, so I don't think that comes along with as many of the extras. But yeah. I saw an early review of it.
It'll cost you just as much.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just lazy. But I saw a review of it from somebody who had an advanced copy, and they said, you know, anybody that was hoping for the Joss Whedon cut or, you know, like more than just a little bit of extra scenes is going to be disappointed. There's no,
right.
You know, there's no Loki scene that people had said had been filmed and then wasn't used. It has the Thor hot tub time machine thing, but apparently it's kind of awful and they're glad it was cut. And
plenty of you know, Thor fans of both male and female persuasion, I'm sure, will be pausing the scene repeatedly.
Very possibly. They said there's a slightly extended scene between Banner and Black Widow,
right,
which is cool. But yeah, it sounded like they were kind of disappointed. Although it sounds like
I just do want to see the cut alternate ending with Quicksilver alive.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Even if it's not, you know, an alternate cut of the movie,
right,
just to have that in there and deleted scenes would be great.
That would be cool, but I don't know. It's they've gotten so sometimes they'll, you know, have the first release of a movie, and then a later release of the exact same movie will have a lot more content on it, just to make you buy it twice, which is
we haven't seen Disney really do that yet. Obviously, Sony did that with the Rogue cut of Days of Future Past.
Right.
And Fox has done it before it was Fox who did Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Sorry, so don't come at me with pitchforks.
It's all good.
And Fox also did that with the Daredevil director's cut with the Ben Affleck version, which is reportedly better than what got released in the theaters.
That is certainly possible. No, I thought that there was like a Phase One box set that came out that had more of the Avengers movie cut stuff, but I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it was all the movies up through Avengers.
Okay.
And you got the nice case that looked like the Tesseract.
Right.
And you know we're gonna get that again with everything from Iron Man 3 up to Ant-Man.
Right. I wonder what the case will be for that.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be an Infinity Gauntlet.
Speaking of which, I keep thinking we're done. I believe one of the other things that...
that's how many news has been.
I know, right? That was another thing that Feige had mentioned was the fact that we are now seeing that there are two Infinity Gauntlets. That there's one that Thanos has and one that's in the treasure vault in Asgard, and he said that one of them is fake. So the speculation, of course, is that it's a fake one at Asgard. So, but who knows?
I mean, I would say that's probably true, or at least it's the real gauntlet, but with fake gems in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we know from what Marvel has fully explained now about the Infinity Gems that they've been reappearing in the movies as the Tesseract, as the Aether, as you know, the Mind Stone.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that these individual things, they're not in the gauntlet right now.
Right. So anyway, all right. I think that's it. Anything else you can think of?
I think that's it for me.
I think we're done then. So we will take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the first episode of the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One Podcast Network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now we are going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I gotta say, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, have talked a lot of smack about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. And I have told those people, you need to watch this episode because, I mean, for me, they haven't had an episode this good since, like, Turn, and the stuff right after Winter Soldier. I thought this episode was freaking awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are saying this episode is what this show should have been the whole time.
Mm-hmm. But we had to build up to it. You know,
right.
we had to have some time learning who the characters were before we started throwing a lot of CGI in there.
Right, and of course we were told, you know, later on that they knew from the beginning about everything that was going to happen in Winter Soldier.
Right.
And that they couldn't do as much as they wanted because they had to wait for that.
Of course, yeah. And which makes, you know, complete sense, and I understand that. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think, you know, this definitely had a lot of whiz-bang action scenes. It had, in, mm-hmm. in the first 5 minutes... That was an incredible opening sequence where we start out with the guy who's just found his powers and is melting things.
Yep, Joey.
Yep, Joey. And
just bought the wrong bottle of fish oil
yep,
one day.
Yep, poor guy. But and then we've got this strike team that comes in, and then we've got Skye and Mac and Hunter that come in, and they drop this box out of the sky, or rather they pop this box out of a little thing on the ground, and then it flies up into this huge, like, the bus 2.0. That's a pretty incredible opening scene.
I do like that line, like, you have your new toy, don't you? I very much love my new toy.
yes. I could totally picture you saying that in your Coulson outfit.
Yeah, and I've kind of sent a message about wanting to find that jacket, but I haven't gotten any word mm-hmm. back yet. But even so, I mean, I like his new coat, like the one he wears at the beginning and the one he wears on the subway car later. Mm-hmm. That is definitely something I want to have in my closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. And so Coulson, obviously, they didn't, you know, make a big deal out of it, but they did show that, you know, he's got a prosthetic on there, and it's not like a super Iron Man kind of prosthetic either. It's just a regular
thing. But it's a robot hand.
It is a robot hand, but, you know, and I thought it was interesting that there were a bunch of scenes where the way that it was filmed, mm-hmm. there was, like, something in the way between, like, so that you couldn't see his arm. Which I just thought was interesting that they would choose to shoot it that way rather than have something shown. But yeah, so that was definitely cool. We had a lot mm-hmm. of different plot lines going on. I think that definitely the thing with our new guy Joey was very cool. And it's interesting because something that had come up in a conversation, I think, at Dragon Con, and I was just asked to be possibly on a panel for Atlanta Con, and specifically about GLBT issues in the MCU. And at first I was like, I don't know that there's that much to talk about, but this episode was a great example of being able to have a gay character, but it's not a big deal. You know, it's just right.
It's not the focus of who Joey is and exactly. what his role is in the story. It's made just references as you would calmly and casually discuss an ex-girlfriend.
Exactly.
Or an ex-boyfriend.
But the cool dimension to that is they're also drawing a parallel between, you know, mm-hmm. having to hide who you are.
Right.
You know, which I think is a great, great way of using that as a metaphor for discussing
that. And I love the way that he discusses, you know, I just got to a point in my life where I'm comfortable with myself,
exactly.
where I'm comfortable with who I was in my life,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm thrown back
away.
Into this again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, I mean, obviously being straight myself, it's harder for me to imagine what it would be like after you've come out to be forced back into the closet
right.
for one reason or another.
Right, exactly. And so that's, I thought that was, it seems like he's an interesting character, and I hope he sticks around and he doesn't become just like a cautionary tale, like almost all the other people with powers that they have found have died mm-hmm. horribly. But,
and it certainly seems like it's going to be a different direction now, based on dialogue from Sky and dialogue from
mm-hmm.
Coulson. This isn't a just,
I'm sorry,
we tag
I'm sorry,
you, we
you
put
said,
you on the index.
You said who in Coulson?
I thought I said Sky.
You did say Sky. She's Daisy now.
Daisy, sorry. Just like Coulson, I'm having trouble getting used to that.
Fair enough, me too.
Even though she's been Daisy in the comics for forever,
yeah.
I might just start calling her Quake instead.
There's that. You could do that, I guess. But yeah, based on conversations you were saying between her and Coulson?
Yeah, that you know the idea now is that there's going to be a different direction
mm-hmm.
in how... S.H.I.E.L.D. responds to superpowered
mm-hmm.
people, especially after the events of last season when Cal got together a group who were very much unhappy with how S.H.I.E.L.D. told them to kind of stay put.
Right.
And not, you know, use their powers or not.
And get back in the closet, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we were saying. So, yeah, that's interesting. It was neat seeing what Lincoln is up to, that he's a doctor.
Yes.
With like a normal life and everything, I imagine that would be kind of hard to pull off. You know, getting all of your resume credentials together after
right.
having been off in Shangri-La for however many years.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, you don't know who else has been there. I mean, there's probably people who might be higher up or well known that could vouch for him and provide
sure.
references in his profession.
Sure, sure.
Because we do know that people, you know, kind of come back. From Shangri-La.
Right, right. So anyway, that was definitely a neat scene with him, and again, something where you've got a character saying, you know what, this is my life, and I'm happy with it, and you need to get the hell out of here, and I don't want to be part of your, you know, your boy band, as Iron
yes.
Man would put it.
And except for, you know, the showing up of the new crew and our new bad guy.
Right.
Mac and Daisy probably would have left him alone
yeah.
and let him go on about his life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but you had that new bad guy, which was pretty impressive looking.
Yes.
I had seen there'd been like some, you know, sneak peek kind of things where you just seen the outline from a distance, and I wondered if it was going to be another Sonic the Hedgehog kind of thing because of all the little spiky bits sticking out. But yeah, he looks very different. What do you know anything about, like from Comics Insight, who
yes.
that is?
Yes, his name is Lash,
mm-hmm.
And he has been in the Inhuman comics, especially since an event called Infinity, in which the Inhumans kind of were forced to blow up Atalan, and that ended up releasing Terrigen Mist all over the world, and activating the latent Inhuman genes of some people
right.
and giving them powers.
And that was basically what they did, what we had the fish oil as that
right.
storyline. Yeah.
And Lash in the comics comes from kind of a breakaway sect. Like, you have the main group of Inhumans
mm-hmm.
With Black Bolt and Medusa and Karnak and all of them. And Lash comes from kind of a splinter group
mm-hmm.
From another Inhuman settlement where the Terrigen Crystals aren't as prolific or as there aren't as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes from a belief that it's rare and special, and you need to be worthy
right.
to go through Terra Genesis.
Much like the other people, you know, Skysburg, Daisy's mother, and, right. and all of those people having their perspective on it.
Yes, but even more so.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't like people who kind of get their powers by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, he kind of comes up as a test, like he puts himself as a test to see, are you worthy of being an Inhuman?
Yeah.
And if you're not, he kills you.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Which it certainly seems to be the path that he is following on in the show so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because he says, you know, where's the Inhuman? And I don't know, I mean, do you think he's talking about Lincoln there, or?
It's hard to tell, really, because Lincoln was chosen to go through the process, mm-hmm. but for Daisy it happened accidentally.
True.
So
I was just wondering if there was, like, somebody else at the hospital.
But, I don't know.
But I guess we'll find out.
So. Yeah, we'll have to figure out, I'm sure, as the season goes on, how he's tracking the new Inhumans that pop up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we don't have Gordon.
Yeah, and whether it's, you know, he's going after anyone who goes through Terra Genesis or just all these accidental Inhumans.
Right, right. Yep. And, of course, we had, oh, my God, I just think... the guy that plays Fitz really, mm-hmm. really, I mean, like, people are saying Emmy-worthy performance, and I know that, like, genre shows don't usually get tapped for that, but he was just freaking amazing in this episode. You know, everything from when he went in to see the guys in Morocco, and it's mm-hmm. I think it's a great thing about this show that, you know, when he was like, yeah, I'm giving you this super weapon, for a second I was like, oh my God! He's actually doing that. He actually is giving them a super weapon because I could believe that he wants to get Sky back that much, and that would be...
Don't you mean Gemma?
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. Oh, that's funny. All right.
You know, we're going to have to institute a rule here. Mm-hmm. You have to donate to S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter for every time we say Sky.
Oh, that's a good point.
And we're not actually talking about what's above us.
Right. I think we might have to do that. I will probably end up very poor out of that. But yes, as I was saying, I could totally believe that he would do that to get Simmons back.
Yes.
But then it ended up being just kind of like a fancy flashbang kind of thing to get him
back.
Yeah,
and what my... You know, all my friends online were going when he said when he admitted that he loves her, mm-hmm. they were all going, yay, Fitzsimmons!
Yeah.
It's my OTP!
Yep. But yeah, I just thought his acting was outstanding. My heart was just breaking at the end where he was just screaming at the monolith and just feeling so, so helpless, and that was just... an incredible scene. And then, of course...
He is much, much different than he was even in the last season.
Oh, yeah, because last season he was just broken for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy was, you know, mostly crazy. But yeah, this season he's very hardened and he's very driven and he's very adamant about what he's doing. But what do you think is up with Simmons?
Well, it certainly looks like she's been transported, I think, to another planet, mm-hmm. maybe another dimension. We don't really know where she is yet. We just got that teaser
right.
at the end, and everything is very blue wherever she is.
Right, and the things that I've heard speculated are some people think it's Thanos' asteroid, and I don't think it's Thanos' asteroid. But the fact that it's everything is so blue that maybe it's the Kree homeworld or something?
Maybe, you know, Hala is the name of the Kree homeworld.
Hala?
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, H-A-L-A.
Uh-huh.
So it could be, and or depending on what you're watching, because Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes pronounced it Hala.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what pronunciation the MCU adopts eventually.
Sure.
It could be somewhere in their space, but mm-hmm. not necessarily their homeworld.
Right. So that would be interesting. They had a lot of really good little Easter eggs and whatnot mm-hmm. in there. Thinking about when you said another dimension, they made reference to Ant-Man and the quantum the quantum dimension there.
And we got a brief cameo from President Ellis,
yes,
who we last saw in Iron Man 3.
Yep, absolutely. And great that he's still president after all this time. But
it's not like he did anything wrong.
This is true. But you know, how many years has he been in office for? But anyway, what else did we have?
That was only what, you know, Iron Man 3 was maybe two, 3 years ago.
Was it? I was thinking. I thought he was in something earlier than that, but I guess not. He was there, and WHIH was one of the stations that they showed. I got all excited and ran to YouTube to see if they had posted another video, but it looks like they haven't. What else did we have? There was a...
The one thing I really liked was, and I didn't catch this at first, but they gave an estimate of the time when the kind of the Terrigen pollution would be.
Oh yeah,
global.
Yeah, that's true.
And it matches up perfectly with the release date for Inhumans.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, but that's like a couple of years from now, right?
Yep.
Okay, for some reason I wasn't looking at the date, and I thought that it was going to happen faster than that, but that's really cool. That's a really cool thing to tie in there. And of course, one of the other big plot lines is we've got a whole other team that is going after Inhumans, and
yes,
we've got a new, I don't know if we want to say bad guy, but at least adversary.
She's at least an antagonist for Coulson. Constance Zimmer.
Is the actress.
Yes. Rosalind Price is the character, and apparently we don't even know if that's her real name.
Yeah, she's introduced herself as Rosalind, but yeah.
Yeah, she's got multiple aliases, as we found out, and she's worked in multiple agencies, often rival agencies, so, you know, we don't really know who this person is, but she is obviously entrusted with kind of being the new person on the block handling superpowered people.
Right. You know, she's now that as far as the government is concerned, there is no SHIELD. There needs to be somebody heading that up, and it's her. And she's got a team of people that are pretty they seem very effective. That, you know, yes, they got their ass kicked by Daisy. I remembered it. But they seem very, you know, heavily armed and everything. So and I thought that there was some nice banter going back and forth between her and Coulson about, he's like, you're a hard woman to find. And she's like, I had no problem finding you.
Yeah. I was like, oh, crap, this was a trap.
Yep. But that's definitely going to be interesting. We got to see that both of them thought that the other one was killing Inhumans, which is interesting.
So who knows? I mean, this may provide the impetus for them to actually start working together.
Mm-hmm. True. I'm sure there will be reason to remain antagonistic to some degree. But that means that there's somebody else out there too.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that definitely might keep them from working together is it looks like she's been cutting up the Inhumans that she finds, which is
actually, like, after it was described, it seemed almost like they were autopsying the bodies of Inhumans that Lash has killed.
Okay, yeah, that's possible,
because that's what I thought at first, until, you know, the stuff about killing Inhumans, and then it occurred to me, well, what if these people are already dead?
Good point.
Although, of course, we have seen that her squad is tasked to use lethal force if necessary, so they may have had to put down two of these people themselves.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. You know, they've made it look like certainly showing the spread of the, you know, Terrigen fish oil stuff. That this is something that's going to be happening with greater and greater regularity. So all of those people out there that have been saying that they didn't want to see just a procedural cop show and wanted to see more people with powers, well, you're getting it.
Yep. So I mean, this hasn't really been a monster of the week since about midway through season one.
Right, Right, because back then they were having to do that just to stall until Winter Soldier came out, really.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. I thought we had a lot of great performances. I'm interested, I guess. See, usually, like, any kind of love plot line makes me just roll my eyes and go, can we please get back to the fighting? But I'm interested to see where things go between Hunter and Bobby there.
Yeah, because he tried to
basically re-propose. Yeah,
yeah.
And that did not. She didn't completely shut him down though.
Yeah.
So it'll
and
be.
And of course, the rumor is still out there that they're going to get their own
right.
show.
And in fact, for a second, when he, you know, she said, you know, I'm worried about you, and he's like, I got to go out and track him down. At first, I thought, ooh, this is something new, and then I realized, no, that's probably Ward.
Yeah.
And it looks like Ward's going to be back next week, so that's cool.
Yes, and the kind of the synopsis they've released so far for this season for him, for Hunter specifically, is that Hunter is going to do everything in his power to try to get revenge on Ward.
Right, right. So it will. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. I think that Ward is somebody who just makes such a great bad guy. And I'm looking forward to see how they weave that together with all the other plot lines that they've got going on in terms of, you know, the stuff with Rosalind's right. organization, whatever they're called, and, you know, getting Simmons back and, you know, everything else, you know, plus we're leading up to Civil War. So they've got a lot of stuff on their plate to a lot of balls in the air this season. And I'm really excited. I thought the performances in this were a step up from where they have been a lot of, not that they've been bad, but I thought it was a step up. I thought the effects were fantastic. Nothing looked at the least bit cheesy, I thought.
Nope.
And the directing was great. The writing was great. Like I said, the banter between Coulson and Rosalind was just awesome. So I think it was a heck of a start to the season. So if we're going on a rating scale of 1 to 5 Shields, 1 being, oh my God, this was awful, and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this episode?
I'm going to go ahead and set this at a 5. I mean, this thing has set a high benchmark for this season, and I certainly hope it all, you know, keeps going like that.
Yeah, I got to go along with you. There was really, I've been racking my brain to see, is there something that I thought, oh, well, that could have been done better? I think this was an excellent episode. I think they had a great balance of talking and plot development and character development and action scenes and, you know, cool effects and great references to other things. So yeah, I was super happy with it. All right. So next week it looks like we've got Ward coming up, so it will be interesting to see how he gets in there.
Yeah.
And they mentioned there's been some postings about Phobos. Do you know anything about that?
Phobos, yes. Phobos is in the Secret Warriors comic.
Mm-hmm.
And he is actually kind of a demigod. He is the son of Ares and a human woman.
Hmm.
And because of his godly lineage, he has the power of fear. Like, he can kind of create fear.
Huh, interesting.
In others, which is where, you know, obviously Phobos comes from.
Right, right, like phobia.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, yeah. And it looks like the guy that they've got playing him is pretty young.
Yeah.
So,
and that goes along with his character in the comics.
Because
He's... he's in the comics the youngest member of the team. He's still maybe like a preteen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy looks maybe early teens or something, but I could be wrong. No. Actually, now that I look at him, I'm totally wrong. I actually recognize him. I'm pretty sure he was in the Joss Whedon Much Ado About Nothing.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Spencer Treat Clark. Yeah. So that will be interesting to see where they go with that.
And you know, if you like to read comics and you're a big fan of May,
Oh yes,
Yes, her comic actually came out this week as part of the 50th anniversary of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
She got her one shot called The Cavalry.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's an issue that mainly focuses on her training a group of cadets when something goes horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know actually where she's off to right now, but I'm sure that she'll be mm-hmm. back, if not next episode, then pretty soon thereafter.
Right, and we've seen that Blair Underwood is supposed to show
yep.
up pretty soon,
mm-hmm.
so we can't imagine that she's too far behind.
Right, right, definitely. All right, well, I guess that wraps us up for this week. We've had a super busy week in terms of news, but I'm really excited and looking forward to next week and a new episode. So I guess that's about it for us, and we will see you in 1 week. Earth Station MCU's cover art is designed by Dr. Ansley Simmons, our logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers, welcome to the show. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com. At earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.